Good morning. I don't know if our brethren who are seated at the back, they can still see me from here. It is always a blessing for me and my family to be with faithful Christians and children of God, such as the Fairground Road Church of Christ here at Missouri. And thank you for having us again for the second time, but this might be our last time to visit with you, to worship with you, to worship God in spirit and truth. Because after our graduation this coming June 21, we'll be flying back to the Philippines on July 23 to start our church planting mission. As I have presented to you, the first time that we came, we are aiming to establish 7 local congregations in 7 cities and in 7 years. After that, I may be able to say to God that I'm done, Lord, for my commitment to you. Please give me 3 more years to live and to be with our grandkids here in the USA. So pray for us, and we hope to see you maybe once in 3 years or once in 2 years, just to give our mission report to all of you. Thank you, brethren, for your financial support while we are at Memphis School of Preaching. Without your support, we may not be able to start, continue, and finish our biblical studies at MSOP. The first time that we met last year, you have shown us your tremendous kindness, love, and generosity. And thank you for having us again. And to our beloved elders, thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to preach the Word of God and to share with you the beauty of God's love. God's love is so amazing. It is beyond question. It has exceeded even our most hopeful expectation. And I believe that this is the kind of love that God wants us to put in our hearts and to live out our lives. Because God expects us that we will spread His immense love to others. He expects us to show our love to others that we got from God. He expects us to demonstrate His wonderful love to the rest of the world. The Bible is full of verses reminding us of God's love despite of our sins and failures. It is always beautiful to see God's amazing love, which encompasses forgiveness and forgetfulness, can be experienced by repentant individuals as they obey our Lord Jesus Christ, thereby leading us to Jesus. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandment." John 14:15. "And you are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you." John 15:14. "For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. There was a certain couple who had a son. This boy would come home drunk every night, staggering and screaming inside the house and using foul language that would pierce his parents' heart. And so the husband told his wife to quit interfering with their son's life and let him live as he pleases. When the boy came home again, doing his usual absent attitude. However, because he had consumed too much alcohol, and so he had fallen off the steps. And the mother saw him fall and responded by helping him and assisting him in entering his room and even applying a heated towel to his face. And not only that, she even helps her son fall asleep, just rocking him gently again and again, again and again. And the husband saw what she was doing. What do you mean about that? Did I not tell you not to disturb him anymore? How could you do that to me? And the wife responded to her husband so calmly and says, I am doing this to our son because this is only the time that he lets me love him. What exactly do you mean? Have you forgotten what he has been doing to us? Leave him alone, the husband exclaimed. And the wife and the mother hugs her son so tightly and replies, yes, I can still forgive our son and forget everything he has done to me because I love him so much. Brethren and friends, does this sound familiar to all of us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The God who is the creator of the universe sent his only begotten Son because of his love. He loved the people of this world. Yes, Jesus came to earth to die for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to earth. We know that Jesus was with God. In the beginning, he was with God, and he was God. But he took the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. God the Father sent his only begotten Son to die on the cruel cross. What an amazing love. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. God the Son is willing to forgive those people who have nailed him on the cross and willing to forget what they have done to him. Not because of who they are, but because of who he is. From our scripture earlier, it says that God is love. What an amazing love of God. Because of love, God forgives. Because of love, God forgives. God's forgiveness is an act of grace and mercy, stemming from his boundless love for humanity. It is a demonstration of his compassionate nature as a loving and forgiving God. Luke 23:33 says, when the crowd came to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus says in verse 34, Father, forgive them, God the Father gave His only Son so extremely that on that cross, Jesus screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have you ever thought, or have you ever wondered why Jesus was willing to forgive those people who have nailed Him on the cross? Jesus did that because He knows that forgiveness is God's most powerful expression of love. It's true. Without love, forgiveness is impossible. Because love is the cornerstone of forgiveness. We cannot forgive a person who wronged us if we do not have the love of God in our hearts. And we do not love that person if we refuse to forgive him. You might want to ask, how many times do I need to forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me, Brother Alex? Don't you know that this question was also a question of Apostle Peter to our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, 21 and 22? Lord, how many times do I need to forgive my brother who sins against me? Is it seven times? In verse 22, Jesus said, it is 70 times seven. 70 times seven. Well, 70 times 7 is 490. Once we have hit 491, it's all over, right? No. But it's not what Jesus meant. You know what? The work to track our forgiveness for that long would be silly. So the point is that we cannot put a number on forgiveness. We have to forgive always without putting a limit on it. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul reminds us that God's forgiveness sets the ultimate example for us to mimic. Yes, we are called to forgive others with kindness. We are called to forgive others with compassion. We are called to forgive others with love. These are the reasons why we are called to be members of Christ's body, so that we could show to the world how Christians live and behave themselves in the world. I know. Forgiveness is not easy. It is tough, right? It is not easy because it requires us to let go of our pride and indifference. It is not easy because it requires us to release our grievances and to love instead of holding on to bitterness. Don't you know that forgiveness is not about setting others free? Forgiveness is about setting ourselves free. Free from hatred. Free from hurt. Free from vengeance. It is all about experiencing the freedom that Christ gave because of His sacrifice on the cross. Self-sacrifice is the ultimate act of love for others, even to the point of death, but none of us has done that. But God's love is seen in the death of Christ for those who murdered Him. John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. 1 John 2:12 I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. When we forgive, we acknowledge that we are all sinners and in need of God's love and mercy. And we must forgive people who don't deserve it. We are to forgive others just as God forgave us. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. One of the reasons why we have a hard time accepting the forgiveness of God is because we have a hard time forgiving our brothers and sisters who have sinned against us. That is why Jesus said, if you forgive men when their sins against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Matthew 6:14-15. God's love will not only forgive our sins, but forgets our sins as well. God forgets because of love. The Bible does not explicitly say God forgets, but it does say that He chooses not to remember our sins no more. Isaiah 43:25. The act of forgetfulness is rooted in God's love for humanity. Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The statement of Jesus Christ, for they know not what they do, implies his willingness to overlook the actions of his enemies. These people are unaware of their fault in killing Jesus Christ. For they know not what they do. Seriously? These people didn't know what they have done to our Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't know that they are killing Jesus, the Son of God. What about Matthew 27:27-31? It's very clear here that they know what they do. Let's read in Matthew 27:27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. What do you think? Were they ignorant to what they did to our Lord Jesus Christ? Didn't God see what these people were up to against His dear Son? Lord Jesus Christ, didn't you hear these people shouting, crucify Him, crucify Him? You know what? If I were the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I would never ever forget what they have done to my son. And the more I hear the knocks and sounds that accompany the hammering of the nails on my son's hands and feet, the more I become angry with them. But sad to say, I was not the father. And you are not either. Therefore, we do not have the right to condemn those people who have nailed our Lord Jesus Christ on the cruel cross. God knows and sees what happened. We read in 1 John 3:20 that He knows everything. Hebrews 4:13, we are all naked and exposed before God, even the depth of our sinful heart. But Jesus meant what He meant when He said, "For they do not know what they are doing." However, because we have just read a while ago those things that they have done to our Lord Jesus Christ, it appears to us that these individuals were fully aware that they were killing Jesus, the Son of God. That is why we even asked, how could a great God who knows everything can be unaware of their sins? How can be a just God turn a blind eye to wickedness and forget anything? Brethren and friends, God's ceasing to remember doesn't mean that our sin slips His mind, but that He doesn't hold it against us anymore. He no longer remembers us according to our sins, but according to Christ's perfection. Isaiah 43:25, we hear God declare of Himself, "I, even I, am He that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins no more." What a glorious and loving God we serve and worship. He is willing to forgive and forget because of love. What an amazing love of God. We were forgiven when we were baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 to 27. And every time we humble ourselves and ask forgiveness, God forgets all the sins that we have committed against Him. God promises that He will forgive our iniquity and will remember our sins no more. Hebrews 10:16 to 17. But one thing that God wants us to do every time we are forgiven and every time our sins are forgotten is this: go and sin no more. Our Lord Jesus Christ forgave the woman in John chapter 8. He says in verse 10, when Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none, but the woman, He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Verse 11, she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Brethren, God forgives us and forgets our sins because of His amazing love. But we need to do our part. We have to stop sinning. Jesus said, "Go and sin no more." This command doesn't mean that Christians will never sin anymore, but rather, sin is no longer our lifestyle and a chosen way of living. Instead, it's a warning against returning to the same path of rebellion. Dear friends who are with us this morning, if you believe your life is empty meaningless, hopeless, without spiritual guidance and truth. And if you want to experience the beauty of God's love, today is the right time for you to follow Him, to obey Him. God wants you to be in Christ. He wants you to be in His church. He wants you to be His child. Anyhow, He wants you to be saved from your sin. The Bible tells us on how to do that. We have to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17. We have to repent of your sins. Acts 2:38. You have to confess our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Romans 10:9. And you have to wash away your sins through water baptism, Mark 16:16, in Acts 22:16. Brothers and sisters, if one time in your life you have strayed from the Lord and from His church, this is also the time for you to come home. Come home. Come back to God's fold. Our beloved elders will be delighted to assist you and to pray for you and to pray with you so that your faith will be strengthened and your relationship with God be renewed once again. We do have a song of invitation, and I am extending God's invitation to you. If you want God's love to be in your heart, please come while we stand and while we sing.